Good morning. it's always great to be here, and as much as I keep getting invited to different places, but I always love being here. And I spoke last Sunday at a different church, and at the end of it, they asked me to speak this Sunday. And I said, no, I'm coming here, because I want to be with my own people. So that's a blessing to you guys. But if you've got a Bible, I'm going to continue in Proverbs. So if you want to turn to Proverbs 18, and there's, over the years, I've often mentioned about how I've walked the three peaks, and we've got several people who are wanting to do that. But I've often said that most people, when they do the three peaks, they go over the first hill, they're fresh, they're quickly up there, they have a snack, and then you've got a long walk to the next respite at the viaduct, if you've ever looked them on the maps. You go over Penygent, and then you've got about 9 miles to walk before you get to the viaduct, where you rest at dinner time, have your dinner, and then you set off on the second one. And it's usually about 2 o'clock-ish when you get to the top of the second one. And at that point, I know whether somebody's going to finish the three peaks or not, whether they're going to do it. Because when they sit there at mid-dinner, they turn around and they can see the third hill. The sun is often behind it by now. It's black at the front of it. They're tired. And they say these words, I can't do that. And at that point, I know they are not going to finish it. If people say, I don't think I can, or I'm not sure if I can, there's hope for them, they'll do it. But people say, I cannot do that, never do it any further, they go down to the bottom and stop. Because they've decided in their head whether they're going to do it. Now, I think anybody who's generally fit, I say that in a broad term, but generally fit, who can, you know, if you can do a 15-mile hike over an hill or two without seriously hurting yourself or killing yourself, you can do a three peaks. But if at that point, on that second, I've seen people who's done 30-mile walks get to that second point and go, I can't do that. And no matter what I say to them at that point, they won't do it. But if they say, I don't think I can, then often they'll go up. I've seen other people go, I'm going up there. They're even better. They're good ones. There's some lyrics from a song, which I just want to read to you. And it says this, it started out as a feeling, which then grew into a hope, which then turned into a quiet thought, which then turned into a quiet word. Then that word grew louder and louder until it was a battle cry. It's a song from Narnia, one of them. And once we have a thought in our mind that we grow and develop and cultivate in our minds, then that becomes the words that we speak. It becomes a hope in our hearts, the words that we speak, and eventually it becomes what we live by. And if we've been, if we've grown up in an atmosphere where all we've ever heard is excuses, and we've adopted that, then all we ever do is give an excuse, then we'll live a life of excuses. But if we've been brought up in an environment where we've been told to, you know, we take on the challenges, rise, fight, you know, claim that mountain, go out there, then often people will continue to fight and go for the mountain for the rest of life. What might be great in the world depends on what your upbringing is, but if you've grown up in a negative environment, the good news is that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation. You're coming out of a family of Adam and you come into the family of God. So everything changes at that point. When you become a Christian, everything changes. So even if your upbringing's not been brilliant, even if your life up to this point has not been brilliant, you can still make a conscious decision to change the seeds that we're putting in our hearts. In Proverbs 18 and verse 20, it says this, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Now I need to put this forward. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, they didn't have words for emotional things that are on the inside. See, sometimes you'll see them down in the bowels. Well, what's your intestines got to do with what God's doing? What's the stomach got to do with being satisfied? And the word stomach in there is not just about that little bit where our food lands before it gets digested. It's about that innermost being. It's something, not the heart, but it's that emotional thing that's down there. It's that, I don't really know how to explain it myself. They didn't know, I don't know. So it's just that inside of you. You know, sometimes you're moved, you'll watch a film, you listen to some music, and it's not in your heart, but it's somewhere deeper down there. And when it's talking about stomach, it's not just the physical stomach, it's beyond that, even though it could be taken stomach, because it says a man's stomach will be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. Now, if you pick fruit, you can eat it, and it satisfies your stomach, if you like that. If you like steak, you can satisfy it. But it's talking about what comes out of your mouth, you will eat its fruit. Whatever we're speaking out, we will eat that fruit. Another way of putting it is we always reap what we sow. That's a New Testament terminology. You reap what you sow. Whatever you put out always comes back. So verse 20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the product of his lips that shall be filled. Verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The New Living Translation says this, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love it, love to talk, will reap the consequences. Consequences is an interesting word because we always see consequences as negative. But I see consequences both positive and negative. You see, there's certain consequences, good ones, of getting married. Okay, I think I need to take everyone through a marriage counselling course. We'll do that for another time. Okay, there's certain good consequences of having a job. You get paid. There's certain good consequences of having good friends around you because they can bring good counsel to you. There's certain consequences in all things, but when we work the word consequence, we always see it as a negative, don't we? Because our minds are trained in a stupid way. Because we've adopted the world's way of looking at things instead of God's way of looking at things. See, consequences from God could be rewards. And in the New Testament, especially because we serve a loving Father, a good God who wants to bless us. And yet people often look at God as God who's waiting to give us consequences for our sin. Well, the last time I checked in the Bible, sin was dealt with at the cross, and the consequences of the cross means I can live life. See, but people see the cross as just as a ticket to heaven, and thereafter there's consequences when you sin. Guys, if it was consequences for sin, we'd all be dead. Yeah. Now, there are consequences. So if I walked up to, I won't pick on Phil today, but if I walked up to Sam and slapped him, there'd be a consequence because he'd slap me back. Yeah. There's a consequence for that. So there is a consequence for sin with people. But between us and God, it got dealt with at the cross. And the Bible says, though, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what we speak out of our mouths will either bring life or death to everything you do, to people around you. If you're very negative, if you're always spewing out things that are derogative and putting people down, people are going to distance themselves from you. And you can spiritualize it and say, I was only preaching the gospel. No, you were being nasty. Some of the most nastiest people I've come across happen to call themselves Christians. At least in the world, they say I'm nasty and they don't care. But Christians hold the Bible under their arm and they've got a cross round their neck. They say they love everybody, but their tongue's like a fire. It just burns people. And we need to be careful of that. So Proverbs 18:21, it says, a tongue can bring death and it can bring life. To those who love to talk will reap its consequences. Proverbs 12, verse 14 and 15 says this, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. The way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The wise listen to advice. It's interesting, just talking about Christians, because I've no right to talk about people who aren't Christians, but it's interesting how many Christians don't take advice. Wise advice. You see, I might not be the greatest advisor in the world and I might not know all things, but I do know the Bible a little bit. And if I can point some wisdom from the Bible, then that's good. I might not know everything, but in some cases, I do know a little bit more than some people. And but things I don't know, I talk to people about that. But it's amazing how many people I say to them, the Bible says this, and they go, that immortal word, but. Well, the Bible says this, but. The doctor says. The Bible says this, but. My boss says this. The Bible says this, I say it, and they say, but. My grand says. And it's kind of like, hang on a minute. Who made us? It was God. Who put us together? Who knows us? It's God. And God's given us a manual. It's called the Word of God. But scientists think this. But philosophers think this. But doctors think this. But people think this. Well, sometimes I don't even care what I think. I have arguments with myself because the Bible tells me one thing and I'm telling myself another thing, and I need to put me in line and say, this is what the Bible says, now do it. Because out of the fruit of my mouth, I want to eat good things. And if I'm spewing out death, then it's going to kill me, whether physically, spiritually, or whatever. But if I can speak out life, that's what I want. You see, there's this interesting few Bible verses in the Bible, and I keep saying this, if you can read the Bible without something slapping you, then you must be numb. Because whenever I really start digging it, especially Proverbs, if you want a good slapping, get into Proverbs. That's why I encourage you to do it. Not to slap you, but so you can be challenged and that you can grow wisdom from it. But sometimes we like Psalms because they're all nice and cute and lovely and there. But even David says, Lord, break the teeth. But there's a bit of punching in there. But people don't like the Proverbs especially. This is what Jesus says. When I get back to my place. He says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty or careless or idle word, depends on the translation, they have spoken. You know, one day we'll all stand before God and God will look at us and say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And we're in heaven and it's great. But we will still have to give an account for every word we've spoken because sin's been dealt with on the cross. But what comes out of our mouth, we'll have to give an account for. And this isn't. See, people's often say, well, that means lying. No, it's not talking about lying. It's talking about careless words. It's not talking about negative words or even rubbish. It's talking about careless words that you speak, get this, over your own life. Every careless, when you look in that mirror, see, when I look in the mirror, I tell myself I'm gorgeous. Right? The face looking back isn't. But I tell it is. And then I act gorgeous. I've been acting gorgeous since I was a kid. But the truth is, it's getting wrinkled on the outside. The air's gone. Everything's dropping. It's good. But I keep telling myself that. That's not a practical sense. But if you look in the mirror and you say, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. You'll act like you're no good. But if you look in the mirror and say, you're a child of God. Now act like a child of God. Guess what? You'll start acting like a child of God. You see, what you say over your own life will bring life or death. Yes. And we'll have to give an account for every word spoken. Your sins have been dealt with at the cross. But you'll have to give an account for all the negativity you spew over your own life. You see, when in ignorance, you're all right. You might get away with it. But if I tell you Psalm 103 says that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget his benefits, who forgives all our sins. Well, I'm not sure if God forgives my sins. Then that's a careless word, because the Bible says he forgives all our sins. Who heals all our diseases? Well, I'm not sure about that. But who saves our life from a pit? We like that one, because we're not off to hell. We're not going to stick in the pit. We're going to go to heaven. Who redeems our life from it and crowns us with good things? It's kind of like, why? Sorry. I need to just compose myself. Why is it when we read something negative in the Bible, we grab it with both hands. But yet when we read a blessing, we go, but. Why? And then why do people look at me, or look at people, should I say, stupidly, when we take the blessings and go, I'm having these, and the curses are dealt with at the cross? Why? Anyway, get off that thing. Back to where we were. So we'll all have to give an account for everything we've said. On the day of judgment, every idle word we'll have to give an account for. You see, this is a sad thing. Most of what we say is only an overflow of our hearts. What's in there flows out. Matthew 12, 34, 35, it says this. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. It says, brood of vipers, How can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if you've got a red letter Bible, that's in red. So Jesus is saying, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out? See, it's great on a Sunday. You can handle it. You can hold it together. You can speak nicely for an hour and a half. You can keep it together. But it's later on. That's why some people don't like small groups, though, because you've got to be real. You've got to be normal. You can't keep it together week in, week out. People see you as you are. Because out of the overflow of the, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he continues, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And out of the evil man, and the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. So what's in us comes out of us. What's it? But we've got an opportunity to deal with the things that's in us, put good things that's in us, put good things in us, and take the bad things out of us. We can guard in our hearts. We can take out the nasty and put in the good. We can allow the fruit of the Spirit to rise up in abundance in our lives. And yeah, there is times when we want to open our mouths and say something, and that's a good time not to. It's a good time just to keep quiet and just hold our peace. It's an interesting one in Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says this, King James Version, New King James. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, a word in season to him who is weary, and he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ears to hear as I have learned. It's saying that he's teaching us how we should speak. What did Jesus say? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I only, you know, it implies, and I'm not sure if it is somewhere or if I've ever heard it or something, but Jesus only spoke what he heard the Father speak. So for us, we can take the word of God and speak the word of God. Because that's what Jesus spoke. So we can take verses in the Bible and we can take them to prayer. And we can speak life. We can speak goodness over our lives. See, death and life are in the power of a tongue. And that's over your own life. You see, if you speak it over somebody else's life, it's still powerful and effective and it can actually hurt them if they take it on. So if I say something, let's say to Dawn, and it's a negative thing, she might just brush it off. But if she allows that seed to get planted and that seed develops into a thought pattern, he don't like me, he hates me. And before we know it, I've just said something that might be thoughtless, that becomes a tree in her life that she'll never trust me or anything. It's rooted down. And it can take a long time to chop those things down. I grew up getting told I'm a fool. I got told I'm no good. I got told all sorts. And in one sense, they might have been right. But then God got hold of me and completely changed it. And all that negativity that was spewed over my life was still there. It was real. But I chose. I didn't need counseling. I didn't need a shabba-dabba-doing. I didn't need, having my head beaten up. I chose to become the person God had created me to be. I chose to become that new creation. I left the whole thing behind. Paul says, forgetting what is behind me as I push on and run the race. I did. Scrap it, because it were all rubbish anyway. I didn't want to carry it. I just wanted to put it down, leave it. Last week at this other church I was in, they had a bit of worship and they're going, and we're singing a song, and I don't know if it was God or just my imagination, but my heart was with you guys. And I saw the Spirit of God, I saw Jesus running through this church, cutting chains down in people's lives. I was in another church thinking of you. And it was like the Holy Spirit, Jesus just ran up that side, cutting the chains that bound people. He went round the back and come back down, he's chopping them. And people were liberated and people were set free. And they'd thrown things down and they were celebrating and they were there going before God. And then the meeting came to an end and people walked out of here, but then some came back and picked up the chains and walked away with the chains. Because that's all they knew. Because that's what they've been told. You're no good. You're rubbish. Instead of going, I am a child of God, and getting rid of them. You'll always be that way. That's what people say. we've got to be careful what we speak out, but we've got to be especially careful what we speak about ourselves. It says this in Proverbs 10, 20 and 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Our words should be food for people. We should encourage people. You see, words are powerful. If you strike somebody, it may take a few weeks or a few days for that bruise to go down. If you really hurt somebody, it could take longer to do that. It's physical. It gets over and done with. But you can have a word spoken over your life that you adopt and you take on, and it can rot in there for your life. Most people deal with people in counselling. It's often because of certain things, not always what's been done for them, but what they thought about what had been done for them. And that thought pattern that gets round their head, mixing up there a bit of fact and a bit of lies running around there, the devil's adding in, other people's adding stuff in, and it robs them of great joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. They often have to work people through a history of negative things being said over them. Or on the other side, but it could be the fact that nobody spoke positively into their life. You see, I don't know your upbringing, I don't know your past, but what I do know is that our Father in heaven wants to speak. In fact, it says that he sings over us. Now, my mum, I can't remember her ever doing it, but my daughter when we were a kid, my kids would be glad I didn't sing over them. But God sings over us. He loves us. He's got the best for us. But he wants that best to flow into us so it can flow out of us to other people. You see, you can only accept anything from God that you're willing to accept. And it doesn't matter. I could stand up here till I'm blue in the face telling you the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, and you could say, but. You're never going to get it. And that's fine. But it will rob you of great things in God. Proverbs 12, 28 says this to 13, verse 3. It says, the way of the righteous varies life, and along that path is immortality. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not respond to rebuke. That's the word of God, basically. A wise son, a child of God, listens to his father's instructions. But a mocker, those who say they don't need it, but. Does not respond. But let's continue. But the fruit of his lips, people enjoy good things. And the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives. But those who speak rashly will come to ruin. I'm only learning this, guys, just to put a guard on my mouth and sometimes not say anything. Just don't say anything sometimes. Just let them. And I know sometimes saying nothing is permission. So sometimes you've got to be careful with that one. But sometimes it's better just to keep our mouths shut for a short time. Basically, I don't know about you, but you say to us when our kids were little, the best thing to do sometimes is count to 10. You know, is keep your mouth shut till the count of 10. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Count to 10. And then it changes things a little bit. It gives you a moment. And sometimes if we speak rashly, we often can lead to ruin. But if we speak with a moment's rest, it can give us a little bit of space. James says this, James 3:2. He says, we all stumble in many ways. So get this, we all stumble. The pastor stumbles, you stumble, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, this isn't saying that we can't keep our tongues under control. What it's saying is he who's never at fault in what he says is perfect. Guys, get this. Inside, you are perfect. On the outside, you're not perfect. So there's a war going on. Remember, between the soul and the body, in the mind, there's a war going on. And if you can keep your tongue under control, it says you'll be able to keep the whole body in check. So if you keep this thing in check, you keep this thing in check. This thing is what often gets people into trouble. I never dated loud women, girls. If they were gobby, didn't want to do them. Because a lot of my mates went out with gobby girls who always got them into fights. Gob, 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 gob. You know, he would shout off and he'd have to handle it. So I just didn't date gobby women. And it's kind of, maybe because my mum were a gobby woman, but my mum could handle herself as well, so that were all right. But I just, it wasn't my thing. But if we can handle our tongues in what we say, then it will help us keep our bodies in check. You see, often we're trying to keep our bodies in check, and that's fine, but keep this in check first, it'll help this. Because when you speak stuff out, if you're speaking life out, you will keep this in check, but if you're speaking death out, it'll lead to ruin. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. So we can speak death and we can speak life. So I say, let us speak life. Speak life, obviously, speak to yourself. The only death you should speak is, if you get a cough or a cold, I got up, I've got a sniffle, I've got a bit of a sore throat, so I talk to myself. It's called insane in some quarters. But I just go, germs die in the name of Jesus. And people go, what? Okay, let's put it a different way. Antibodies do what you were created to do. Kill. Get out there and kill everything that's in my body. And don't cough, don't sneeze, don't know. Somebody criticised me for that, and I did say to him, I goes, have you ever known me have a cold? I mean, a major cold. I went, no. I said, that's not every now and then. But have you? He said, no. I said, how many of you have? He said, I get at least 3 a year, 4 a year. And I said, yeah, because when winter comes, you say, I always get cold in winter, and they always get cold in winter. I said, don't dare say you start getting the flu, as you'll start getting the flu. I always get it, they say, and they always do. I say, I'm not having it. So it tries, and I'm not having it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. Since we, that's us, have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. So we, as believers, have got the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Because we've got a spirit of faith. Okay, let's take it again. In the NIV, it says this. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. You speak out of what you believe. If you believe you're going to be sick, you'll be sick. If you believe you're going to be well, then keep praying, trusting in the word of God, and believe God, and you'll be well. Oh, Johnny, you get us into some dodgy ground. Okay, I'm not going to go into dodgy grounds with you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The problem is that we've heard some people take things to extremes. This is what frustrates the life out of me. Somebody steps one side into the Word of God and gets a revelation of how awesome God is. And people go, great. You know, 10, 15 years ago, say we were here and somebody stepped over here and went, God's a good, good father. He's a good father. Now the church has drifted this way a little bit. Some have taken it to extremes, that's true. But some people have gone, oh, we can't have that, and stepped over here. But God's a good father. Yes, but he beats us. God's a good father. Yes, but. Yeah, the Bible says it's good. So the church has gone more in line with the word of God, and some people rebel and run the other way. Guys, the Bible talks about healing. It even talks about living life well. It talks about living a healthy life. It even mentions the word a lot of times, prosperity. And I'm not talking about having £1 million, and I shouldn't even have to clarify that, because God wants us to prosper in everything we do. Yeah. But when you mention the word prosperity, people go, yes, but there's somebody who mentioned prosperity in there. Guys, I'll give you my observation. Take this, chew on it, spit it out, do whatever you want with it. All the people that are called the health and wealth people, name it and claim it, grab it and grab it, yeah. All those people that are called that, just an observation, are the people that give at least 50% of their income. Ooh. And they might be saying, name it and claim it. I've never heard them say, you name it and claim it. I say, he's got the word of God and believe it. But they're not having a problem with poverty. Now, I'm not saying it's right and wrong, but that's an observation. And yet they are the ones giving a lot more than most people would ever dream of giving. People criticize a guy called Jesse Duplantis, and I like him. So you know where I stand. I like Jesse, I like his preaching, it's quite entertaining. But how many of us has given 85% of our income away? I mean, would I be right in saying 15% might be max we've ever been to? 80%. You know, not how many people gave to the New Orleans disaster. He gave over $1 million. The church he's part of gives $4 million. Yeah, but they're rich. Yeah, because he believes. Anyway, let's get off that. I'm not talking about that extreme, but what I'm saying is if the word of God says something, you stand on it and you believe it. And that's fine. You go with it. And it's not about what they do. It's about what you say over your own life. In Mark 11, 22, it says this. So Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. So Jesus talking to a group of people, and he says, have faith in God. Actually, he's talking to his disciples. In Romans 12, 3, I'm just going to put this in context. It says this. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment according to the faith God has distributed to each one. So you've all been given faith. You've all been given a measure of faith, okay? Okay, you don't look too convinced. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift from God. Even to get saved, you need a faith that was given to you by God. Okay, we're all right on that one. Whew, this is getting hard work. So we've all been given... So when Jesus says to his disciples, have faith in God, he's talking to his disciples before the cross, but after the cross, we've got faith in God. Amen. Okay, we're on that one. So have faith in God. For surely, Jesus says, continuing in Mark 11, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe, and you will receive them, and you will have them. The key there, it says, whoever says, speaks out, this mountain, to be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You see, praying with your eyes shut, hands together, and in your mind is okay. But praying, speaking out, shakes the foundations of hell. Because you can have what you say, and I'm not saying, say, I want £1 million. You've got to believe for £1 million. If you receive £1 million, that's great. Please tithe. But you can have only what you believe. See, I believe for good health. And I get good health. I get knocked every now and then. I still got to go see a doctor about certain things, and I get kicked around a bit. I believe that God... There's a verse in Proverbs that says, don't give me too much, God, that I become, that I forget about you, or too little that I might go robbing. Just give me enough. And I like that middle ground bracket. I don't want too much. But I have worked out this, that if I did have too much, I could be a better giver. But we'll look at that if I ever get to there. But you can have whatever you say. But the idea is, whoever says to this mountain, it's interesting he says to this mountain, he was on the Mount of Olives at the time when he said this. And when he comes back at the second coming, he's going to stand from heaven, he's going to come down, and he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And he said it's going to split in two, and a sea is going to come between it. Just a thought. I don't know what that really means, but at the end of the day, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will be done, it will be whatever he said. So speak it. Whatever you believe. Now, don't start saying, I want £1 million, I want a big car. If you can't believe it, don't believe it. And I'm not advocating that we spend all our time going after things and speaking for cars and material things. But one thing I could say to you is, why not say, Lord, I'm going to start saying that my rotten husband will get saved, if there's anybody in that listening to us. My kids that are tearing away from God, they're going to get saved. They're going to be passionate for God. Start speaking prayers like that and say, oh God, they're no good. They're no good. Nothing's good ever going to come of your kids. There might never come any good of your kids like that. But if you say, my children are going to grow and they're going to be all... I've always prayed this over my two. I've always said, when I go to school, I say, do something awesome today. Do something amazing today. Be different today. I keep telling them they're going to be bigger than me. No, it's nearly there. I keep saying to them that they are going to be mighty men and women of God. I don't know what that means, but I'm speaking over their life. Because I'll tell you why. Because God has given me a gift, a bit of the prophetic. But he's giving you the similar thing. And I'm cautious about what I speak over people's lives. Because there's a prophetic edge to it. Not a pathetic edge, a prophetic edge. So when I speak to them, they will be awesome for God. I'm believing that. That's got the power of life in it that will enter their lives and it will develop good seeds in their heart. I was encouraged to say, Joe and I were driving down the motorway and there'd been an accident. And we drove past and we saw somebody we know. In fact, it was Katie Day. She stood at the side of the road. And so we're driving off and we're ringing, making sure she's not been in the accident. I mean, we could have rung round, told everybody to pray until we knew what was going on. But we didn't. We just said, and eventually we got through or she rung us back. And she'd stopped to help these people. There'd been a bit of an accident, shunt. Nobody was seriously hurt. And she gave them a lift. So we're ringing her up saying, do you want a lift? Is your car all right? Shall we take you somewhere? But she'd stopped and got out and asked them guys if they want a lift. And she got, I mean, we don't really know what's going on, but she said she had a good chat to them on the journey over to the other side of Manchester or wherever it was. But she was trying to speak life. Her actions and life speaking were running side by side. You see, sometimes we need to pray prayers that are life prayers, not just negative, but positive life prayers, speaking out life in everything we do. You know, your family might be no good and it might have no hope, but I'll tell you this, if you start praying prayers that there's life and hope for them, there will be. Yeah. Steve and Hillary, friends who sometimes come here, Rachel and Adam, they come here, he's working today. Steve was telling us yesterday about his nephew, and he said, I can't believe it, he's got saved, I can't believe it. He went to someone and got saved. He's the last person. And Hillary says to us, I've been telling you to stop praying that he's no good and start praying life into him, because she's been praying life for him, that his nephew, and now he's got saved, and it shocked Steve. The reason we get shocked is because we've been praying, Lord, save him if you can. Lord, please. And God's going, you know, it's something I want to do. I really want to save them. So we need to be praying. Guys, if you've got people in your family, that just start praying good prayers over them. Start saying, instead of saying, God, you know, there's no hope for them, saying, God, you are my hope. And I'm standing for them. And at the minute, they're running away. At the minute, you see, in the Bible, whenever really bad news came, if you read the prayers, there's one of them where he lays it out before God and says, God, you can read this, can't you? But I know you're bigger. I know you can do awesome things. He wasn't crying about the list of stuff that was going to happen. He was saying, God, I know you're bigger. And when cancer comes, you can say, God, it's true the doctor said I've got cancer, but you're bigger than cancer. Your name is more powerful than cancer is. You can start praying. You don't have to go to devastate. It makes me smile, does that? I can't wait till I go to heaven. Doctor says you're sick and you're going to die. Well, one of you is lying. If you were lying before, you don't really want. Now, none of us really want to go to heaven now, do we? Anybody? None of us really wants to go. We want to live his life to the full down here. So when we get there, we're right, okay, that's great. We're here. But the truth is, God loves us so much, but out of our mouths can come life and death. And I'm not going to finish all this, so I'm going to try and round up now. In Joel 3:10, it says this, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. See, people say you should never say what you're not. Don't ever say what you're not. Be real. Well, the Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. Well, how can we say we're strong and weak? It's because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So physically, I'm weak. Mentally, I'm weak. But spiritually, I am strong. So I say the word of God, which strengthens my mind and strengthens my body. You see, the Bible's not a contradiction. It just says, let the weak, those who are weary. In fact, if you go into James 5, it says, those who are sick amongst us, let them call. The word sick there means anybody that's physically sick, mentally sick, who's just tired, who's exhausted, people who just can't fulfill what they're supposed to do. Anybody, call upon the elders. In here, the word sick there, if anyone's weak, it doesn't mean just weak as in I feel tired. It means the whole concept. If you're weak because of sickness, if you're weak because of bereavement, if you're weak because of anything, say you're strong in that situation. The Bible says, therefore be imitators of God, dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore be imitators of God. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them were breathed out of his mouth. There was nothing. Blackness, nothing. The earth's there, there's water on it, and the Holy Spirit's brooding. And it doesn't say God made. He got together with some mud, made a tree, seas. He says, let light be. Or let light be. He just says, light be. He spoke it and it happened. He spoke it and happened. See, when you look at Jesus' healings that he performed, he spoke it, it happened. You see, we won't speak it. We don't speak out of our mouths because the world has said, you don't do that. You can't believe in what you don't see. Well, I believe in a God I've not really seen. I believe in wind. You know, someone says to me, you can't believe in anything you've not seen. I said, have you seen your brain? It's just a thought. You see, Jesus said he spoke out. In Genesis, it said he spoke. And we need to be imitators of God. And we need to speak. Speak life. Speak life over your family. You know, I can't do it so much now, but we try. Joe and I, different times, we try to go in and pray for kids while they're asleep. Ethan sleeps through things, but you can't really get in there that much now, so you just pray for the bed when they're not in it, so when they get in it, life. I pray for you guys, life. I see more potential in some of you than you see in yourselves, because I want to see goodness. I want to see you fulfill your great potential. I want to see great things come upon you. I want to see God just work through your life. But whatever you're saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, you never will. You're like that person on the second three peaks, looking across going, I can't. I say, stop saying I can't and start going, I'll have a go. Yeah. It's a step forward. Amen. Stop saying I can't and start going, I'm going to have a go. Yeah. Stop saying the doctor says, or my mum says, or granny said, or my body says. Also, and just say, I'm going to go for it. God, I believe you, I'm trusting you. I'm going to trust in you. Okay, I'll pick up these another time, but we need to think about what do we say over others? You need to look at what you say over other people. What do you say over other people? What do you say about yourself? And then ask yourself, what does a Father in heaven say over us? You see, once we realize, look at the CD it says, who I am. It will talk about who you are in Christ. It talks about who Jesus is and what he did for us. And when we realize what the Father says over us, it will change what we say about ourselves. It will change what we say over other people. See, Ethan's had his test and he's been told he's dyslexic a year ago or so. But he sees it as a positive because he sees me seeing it as a positive. Where most people will see it as an excuse not to do, I see it as an opportunity to be different. The reason I read the Bible in a certain way is because I can't read that well, and my mind's a bit different. But I read things differently, and that might be why I see things a little bit different. I don't see it as a negative. I see it as a great positive. You see these people get their legs blown off, and then in a few years' time, they're running marathons. They never did that before they had legs. Because they see it as a positive. But as Christians, we get told that we might lose a job at work, and it's devastation. Instead of seeing it as an opportunity, it's something better. It's what the Father says over us. And Romans 8:28, and the verse I just looked at a bit, it talks about that he'll turn everything good for those who love him. Whatever's happening over our life, he will always turn it for good. And I believe that. So when something happens, guess what? God's going to turn it for good. So the doctor says something over my life, I go, God's going to turn it for good. When somebody reminds me of something from a past, God's going to turn it for good. Whatever happens, God's going to turn it for good. And that releases me, and it releases you guys, because I'm not panicking all the time when something happens. When someone says to me, yeah, I'm not really sure about something in church, I might leave. It's like, well, okay, if you need to go, you need to go. It don't shake me anymore. Because I know God will always turn out everything for his glory and for my good. And that's just one thing he says over our lives. I've got something written down here. And I just put, if you don't mean it, don't say it. If you've ever said anything and wished you hadn't, you've said it. You can't take it back. It said, and actually he did mean it. Because you don't often say what you don't really mean, especially if you're angry. People say all sorts when we're angry. And there's an element of truth, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you're angry, that valve that stops everything coming up gets released. Up it comes. So that's why sometimes it's best to get angry at home. And that's why your spouses could say, we know you're not perfect. None of us are. But with it all I'm trying to encourage you to do is speak life over your own life and over your family's life and over people you care about, over next to you. The Proverbs is full of wording, speaking. Watch your mouth, guard your mouth, watch what comes out of your mouth. It talks about the words we speak all the way through Proverbs. It's amazing. And I've only just, in a sense, ding, hit you with something. And all I want to do is encourage you, just be careful what you say. Sometimes you might just have to go, and after a while, get used to it. And someone says to me, if you've nothing good to say, then don't say anything at all. And that's what I learned at school. I'm not saying I did it, but it's a good thing. Because our kids will mess up. But that don't give us a right to speak negative rubbish over their lives. And just because we've had rubbish spoken over our lives, it doesn't mean we've got to accept it. We can put it before God. If anybody seriously needs somebody to talk to, there are people that I can suggest having a bit of time of speaking. But beyond that, you can always go before God. Last thought, how did we get saved? We asked Jesus to come into our lives, didn't we? Romans 10:9-10, it said, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, we will be saved. Because it is by the heart that we believe and are justified, and by the mouth that we speak and are saved. The word there, confess, means, because we always see confession, we get on our knees and scream out to God and confess everything we've ever done. But that's not the meaning of the word confess in Romans and in 1 John. The word confess means to say the same as. So when we confess Jesus our Lord, we're saying he is Lord. We're saying he is my great provider. We're saying he is the King of Kings. When we get saved, we're saying he is everything to us. He's all things. So guys, just remember, speak positive stuff over your life. And if you've not liked little things that's been said, don't chew on things. Think about it. Look at the Bible. And you know, let's chat about things. And to be honest with you, I've not got through the Bible entirely. I think when I've been dead 1,000 years, I might have got a bit more through it before God. But I am desperately trying to study and to learn so I can encourage you guys. And I appreciate when you guys study and learn and you come and talk to me about it. I love bouncing things off one another. And even sometimes when we're a bit, I'm not sure, I still like it because it sharpens us up. It gets us going. So, your task this week, speak something awesome over somebody's life. Be awesome. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as David says, that you know, you'll set a guard over our mouths, Lord, but we will set a guard over our hearts. Lord, that only goodness and greatness will flow out of our lives. Lord, I pray a blessing over everybody. Lord, and I say that these guys are awesome and they are amazing, and you've got a great plan for every one of them. Lord, I pray that you will help us to steer and encourage each other, that we might fulfill all that you've got for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.